I have a question for you. Have you had anyone ever tell you that the Old Testament was just dogma and wasn't worth anything? You ever had that? I had that when I first was called. I had people tell me that it was of absolutely no value to me. Essentially, the Bible wasn't, but in particularly the Old Testament. Have you ever heard anyone say that I want to go to a New Testament church? I don't want anything to do with an Old Testament church. I had that happen too to somebody that attended with us on a regular basis. It was sad that he referred to our congregation as an Old Testament church. Now, I'm going to be speaking to the choir here in regards to our respect towards the Old Testament, but my challenge is today to try to get us to look at the Old Testament in maybe a little bit different light than we have in the past. What about the Old Testament? I want to remind you that it is, and to read it, and I want to encourage you to take a new look at it. The New Testament is loaded with references from the Old Testament. In the Gospels, I roughly counted up 130 different quotes, just in the four Gospels, of quotes from the Old Testament. There are over 250 more quotes through the rest of the New Testament, of the Old Testament. Those are quotes of Scripture. The passages that refer to the Word and to the Scripture in the New Testament are almost always referring back to the Old Testament. So we know as a congregation and a redeemed community that we're responsible to what is written in the Old Testament, don't we? We live by it. We talk about it. We do things differently than other people do. So it's a very, very important that we take a new look at it, I think, and see if there's anything in there that we might be missing. There are dozens of passages that refer to the Word. And remember, there was no compilation of the New Testament until 300 or 400 years after the events occurred. So when it talks about the Word and the Scriptures and the way, it's talking about the words from the Old Testament. This is so important to understand where the New Testament church was, where our faith is, where our conduct is. How do we wade through that? What do you do? How do you pick and choose what you believe and how you conduct your life? How important is it? Turn to Matthew 4 and verse 4 with me. Very familiar scripture. Satan at the very, very beginning of his ministry, I'm sorry, Christ at the very, very beginning of his ministry was tested by Satan. And in verse 3 says, if you're the Son of God, order these stones that to become bread. And what's his response? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. I want that to be a key, every word. My Bible, I read out of the Jewish Bible, and frankly, I'm going to continue to refer to this Bible because it is in much greater support of what we believe. It's a much greater support of the law, much more support of how we conduct our lives. It reads better. In my Bible, it says the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now, what's he referring to? He's referring to the Scriptures, the Old Testament. Now, did Satan really need this information? Probably not. It's written for our benefit. And in each one of the cases where he's, you know, don't tempt God, worship and serve God only, he's quoting the Old Testament in front of Satan for our benefit. Those scriptures, he used them, he lived them, he was the embodiment of the Old Testament scriptures, wasn't he? Turn over to Acts 7 and verse 38. This is a little nugget that you can go over and you can miss that I think is very valuable in regards to, you know, how do we view the scriptures, and what scriptures are we talking about? I'm going to primarily be referring to what is called the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, because I think primarily that's what they're talking about, and particularly the scriptures that I'll be talking about a little bit later. Acts 7 and verse 38, the Sanhedrin had gotten Stephen and accused him that they were speaking against Moses in the law, essentially the oracles of God. Acts 7 and verse 38, this man, referring to Moses, is the man who was in the assembly in the wilderness, accompanied by an angel that had spoken to him on Mount Sinai, and by our fathers, the man who was given living words to pass on to who? To pass on to us. My other Bible, I think, is more accurate in this regard, and it says the oracles of God, the laws of God, all of the oracles and laws of God. To who? To the New Testament church. So when you have somebody that accuses you or says, well, you know, you just do a lot of the things that are in the Old Testament, the New Testament is literally littered throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, and references to the Old, isn't it? Constantly, every time you see it say the Word, unless it's referring to Christ's words, it's referring to the Old Testament, isn't it? This just popped out on me a couple years ago, and I thought it would bear repeating. So the living oracles. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 17, that the helmet of our salvation was the Word of God. He also referred in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, it said the work which is alive and in us, it does its work in us. We allow the Word of God to do its work in us. We have to know it to allow it to do that. And so we're encouraged on a regular basis to do our study, to read the Old Testament, to read through Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, those books that are instructional and corrective, to know what kind of conduct a redeemed community is supposed to live by, aren't we? Let's turn over to one of my favorite scriptures. Since it's my favorite, we will turn there. One of my favorite. In reference to this, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. We've read this a number of times. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. See, he's talking now, he's in a conversation, and he's proved the Sabbath, that there still remains a Sabbath rest for the redeemed community, right? There still remains a Sabbath rest. So it's in the argument of the Ten Commandments, or Exodus or Deuteronomy. See, the Word of God is alive. It's not dead. It's applicable in our lives. Every single day, we can look to those things that are written and direct our lives by what it says. It is alive. It is work. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it cuts right through to where the soul meets the spirit and the joints meet the marrow, and it is quick to judge the inner reflections of the heart. You think of that. The Word of God, the Old Testament's referring to, remember at the time that this is written, is able to judge and correct you on the inner reflections of your heart. You know, I joke about this. My wife sent me out. It's funny how this works, but she sent me out to get a knife for her birthday. This is an easy gift, right? I'm going to have tons of money left over, a knife for her birthday. You kind of run out of things to buy for your birthday. So I go to the store, I go to the mall, I get this knife, and the guy shows me, and it's for vegetables, it's for chopping vegetables, and then he tells me what the cost is, and I realize I'm not going to have any money left over after buying this knife. So he says, do you want me to sharpen it? And I said, well, yeah, you can sharpen it. I don't know anything about this at all. I'm buying a knife. I'm getting it to her. It's a birthday present. Mission accomplished. So he sharpens it. I get it home. She's not home yet. And I grab a tomato, and I take that knife, and I set it. I set it on a tomato, just the edge of it, and it went right through. I mean, like a hot knife through butter. I had no idea knives were like this. I have never touched that knife for use again. It scares me to death. I wash it, I'm sweating, you know, it scares me to death. But the Word of God is able to do that. What word is it referring to? It's referring to the scripture in the Old Testament that are corrective, that are also that complement us, that make us feel good about who we are, the people of God. We have to take it seriously, what's written there. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, because I think this also makes a point. And I want to begin in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, and then read 15, which we always read verse 15, and we say the scriptures. I'll get to that. But you continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, recalling the people you heard it from, who taught you, and recalling from childhood, you have known what? The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. What are the Holy Scriptures? All Scripture, this is the key, all Scripture is God-breathed and is valuable for teaching the truth, convincing of sin, correcting a fault, training a right way of living. Thus, anyone who belongs to God may be fully equipped for a good work. When you match up all with Matthew 5, verse 17, it says not one jot or stroke of the law will pass. What's left? All Scripture is for our good. And it's very healthy for us to look at it that way. And I know, again, I'm preaching to the choir. Most of us see it this way. But a new challenge to you to go back and read Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus and see what in there that maybe we're missing or that I may be missing. So, and the key there is, too, I want to make mention, the wisdom in verse 14, the wisdom that leads to deliverance through trusting in Messiah. Of course, we have a code of conduct that God has given us for a redeemed community, and it's right there. He lived by it. He was the embodiment of it. The apostles lived that way. They taught it. These were the scriptures they taught on a regular basis. Think about one of the most exciting times when Jesus was resurrected, and he was able to convince the apostles of who he was from the scriptures from the Old Testament. Could I do that? I couldn't do that. I'd like to be able to do that. I couldn't do that. I can't. I don't know those scriptures well enough. Can you? Can you go back and prove who Messiah is who Jesus Christ is from the Old Testament scriptures. That's a challenge. That would be a good challenge for me, I think. The list goes on. James says the doers of the word are justified. Again, what's the word? The word is, at that point, the Old Testament. Titus says the qualities of a leader are to know God's word. In the Philadelphia era, was somebody to have known God's word. All the references, as you read through the New Testament, all the references, unless it's referring to Jesus Christ, are referring to Torah or the Old Testament. I encourage you to reread, maybe help it to come alive again. I encourage you to have trust and faith in our Messiah, who is the embodiment and the living word, and learn to find out and know him better through the written word, the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures it's referred to in the Old Testament.